us not to hold you long. We're just going to do what God say do and sit it down. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, a very familiar passage. And get through with these scriptures, you're going to wonder, well, where is he going? And we'll just see. But as we look here in Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58, which is a very familiar passage, and normally we think of we're at a homegoing celebration. And that's where I got it from. Bible declared, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, yes, unmovable, yes, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Supporting scripture coming from St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. And I'll pick up at verse 20 and read down to through 23. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We ought to use a thought of subject this morning. If you repeat after me,
I don't want
my labor to be in vain.
I don't want
my labor to be in vain. God is my everything. Oh, yes. All we have to do is just trust and believe in him. And he proves himself to us every day. Every day. God shows us that he is our everything. We can depend on him when we can't depend on nobody else. The Lord God will be right there. And there are times when, you know, we heard about entering into your secret closet. And sometimes you got to understand that you don't have to get in the actual closet. You just got to close your mind off. Shut everything else out of your mind, because the enemy will try to crowd your mind and to make you forget about even what you're trying to pray about. Sometimes when you're waiting on God and the enemy try to make you think that he's not coming, all you got to do is hold on and hold out. How many of you know that God will come to your rescue? Hallelujah to the name Jesus. And if you just think about this morning, all that the Lord God has done for us, what are you doing to give God back for all of his benefits towards you? David said it like this. He said, what should I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Those of you that are still employed, those of you that have been employed and retired, one thing you look for on a job is good benefits. And if you got good benefits, then sometimes even the pay don't really matter. If you know that the benefits sort of just balance things out to where it's all going to come together after a while. Am I talking to anybody that understands that benefits are very important to all of us? And so now, who or what or whom could we work for better than the Lord our God? And when we work for God, we realize that all of his benefits toward us, ever since you was in your mama's womb, God started blessing you. And if it had not been his desire, you wouldn't even come out alive. That there are many, many embryos that don't make it out. But if you are one that made it to this side of the ground, you got a lot to be thankful for. And then if you think about it, every day of your life, God has blessed you, whether you acknowledge it or not. God has blessed you. And so now, if we got a God that has blessed us, if we got a God that have given us things to do, we ought to be willing to be thankful, not only for the benefits, but we got to give something back to God. And so that's why when we think about just what the Lord is and who he is, we ought not want our labor to be in vain. In vain means it's no good if you're just doing something just to do it. And that speaks of, I'm just jumping ahead of the game, but I'm going to do like the Lord said do. But that even is when you allow yourself to be manipulated by other folk that don't want to praise your God like you praise him. They don't know like you know what the Lord God has done for you. They weren't there when you couldn't hardly get out of the bed that night, but somehow in some way by morning time, you were able, if you just crawled out or rolled over and fell out. Sometimes you got to get out how you can. There are times I have to lift up behind my leg and pull myself on up so I can get on out the bed. God is amazing. And that's why the Bible declares, when I am weak, God will make me strong. Got any folk in here ever had any weekdays? And I found out some young folk, just because you're young, you run out of energy just like we do. Don't eat right, don't sleep right. Got all this technology in your head. You go to bed with the phone, you wake up with the phone. I believe your eyes and your ear be blinking all night long. Can't hear mama's voice, but you hear that phone ring. And I'm going to move on, but nothing makes me madder than to know that I got somebody that's always looking at their phone, and then I call them and they don't answer. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. When you watch individuals and you know they have the phone all the time. So what they do, they look at you and they ignore your call. And then think about it. Some of you paying the bill for them anyhow. They make it double hot. Now, by the grace of the amazing God that has blessed us to be in this worship experience one more time. On the first Sunday, lifting up and magnifying the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the God that I'm talking about this morning, he is everywhere at all times. If you're in this thing called ministry, you're always listening, you're always searching, you're always trying to get a thought, and find that thought can connect with some type of scripture that you can purvey or to express the word of God so that the people of God can have an understanding of a thought. I'm not here to preach the Bible to you this morning. I'm here to preach a thought. That thought this morning is, I don't want my labor to be in vain. I is personal. And so that's why I had you to repeat it after me, because I want you to take this thing personal this morning. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't worry about what he or she is not doing. What are you doing or what are you not doing to glorify God or to spread the good news? As I sat there at the homegoing celebration of the life of Mother Jones on yesterday, and now main text scripture, that one that said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And for whatever reason, it just kept on ringing in my head, and it led me in another direction. I thought I was going to preach about something else today, but yesterday it just all changed. And I sat there and I listened to all the things that were going on, and that scripture kept on coming up, even in the remarks of different people, even in all of the many resolutions that were read for her, that scripture still kept coming up. And so it began to confirm to me that this is where you're going to go in the morning. So I thought that I would be obedient to the word of God and to the will of God and to preach this today. Because for a surety, I truly don't want my labor to be in vain. Come the first Sunday of December this year, I would have been in ministry for 38 years. And out of all of that touring, out of all of that preaching, I definitely don't want to die and go to hell and let my labor be in vain. Now, do know, in those 38 years, I have not did everything right. I have not dotted every I. I have not crossed every T. And somewhere along the line, I fell down. But I thank God that I had sense enough to get back up. Anybody ever fail and realize that I don't care how holy you might be right now, you had some good days and you had some bad days. You had some days when you was in his will and you had some days when you was out of his will. But if the seed has been planted, it'll make you hold on to what you got. If you know that God is a forgiving God, then you don't allow the enemy to shatter your mind or to crowd your head with negative thought that God will not hear or answer prayer. That there's somebody else in here this morning that know what it is to want to live right, but the old enemy just keep on pulling you. Every time you get a little bit closer, that enemy pull you back. Mess with your husband, mess with your wife, mess with your children, get in a mess with your automobile. The enemy will do anything to get your mind off of Jesus. So you got to be on the watch out. Got to continue to trust and believe in the power of a loving God. As we sit here this morning, we do know that whether we acknowledge it or not, God has been good to all of us. And whether we praise him or how we praise him, we can't praise our God enough. There are those of us that feel like sometimes that it does not take all of that. But if you weren't there when the going was rough, if you weren't there when that individual was down on the bed of affliction, if you weren't there when they just couldn't make ends meet, if you weren't there in those times when you didn't know whether you're going to have bread enough to feed your family for the rest of the week, we are better than blessed. We've been so blessed that we have a lot to be thankful for. Look out and we see our elders and all that they went through and all the struggles in life, but God made a way that they made a way, and because they made a way and God made a way, we had a way paid for us. Most of us, that's why we're so lazy. That's why we're so sorry. Somebody's always done something for us. Always could depend on mama. Always could depend on, well, some daddies. Sad to say, but it's true. We can get them here, but we ain't got something to take care of them after they get here. And then it's vice versa. We got some mamas that had babies that neglect them as well. With all that pain and all of that trouble you went through to get that baby in here, you ought to be willing to take care of it. In 9 months, you should have developed a love. There should have been a bond. There should have been a connection that you're going to take care of your child. Even if you didn't want it in the first place, after it started growing in your belly, you ought to have been connecting with it. And after it came out, there ought to have been a love beyond measure. Am I talking to anybody in here? We got so much to be thankful for this morning. And I'm sure many of you agree with me that God is good and we need to praise him while we can. We don't praise the Lord enough. Act like we're doing God a favor just to say hallelujah. Act like we're doing God a favor. And sometimes you got to be motivated and pushed and prompt just to say thank you, Jesus. But there ought to be a thank you, Jesus on your lip when you wake up in the morning. Think about labor, which is defined as hard work or workers collectively as a group. Labor is workers for a particular job. Work done using the strength of your body. So our labor is our work. How many workers do we have in the house? I'm not talking just about those that got your name on some auxiliary. Because you don't have to be on an auxiliary to be a worker. How many of you know you got some of them on the auxiliary? They just on there. They ain't working. They let somebody else do the job, then they come up and say, look what we done did. The The Bible teaches us that we should work the works of him that sent us while it is day and night cometh when no man can work. Then as we look at the teachings of Paul as he deals with the outworking of our salvation, you find in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 16, these words. Wherefore, my beloved, be as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying to us this morning, first of all, it is very clear. Paul is a teacher, a preacher. Paul is teaching the people that not only in my presence, but as your under shepherd, I believe that you ought to know how to act, whether I'm in your presence or not. I believe that if God has put anything within you, then you don't need me to hold your hand to be able to tell you to say, thank you, Jesus. You ought to be able to be on your job. You ought to be able to ride in your car. You ought to be able to witness to somebody that don't know the Lord like you know him, that God is real. You don't need the organ to shout. If you got to dance, you can dance at home. Sometimes we shout just to be a show. Remember the old saints used to say, if it ain't real, be still. It's sad to say, but it's not sad. It's a blessing also to say my longest days are behind me. So why not praise the Lord with what time I got left? Think about it. Those of you that are 50, 60, and 70, your longest days are already behind you. Now, I can't say when God is going to keep you, but I don't know too many folks that get past 100. We got a very few, and then when we realize that we got some of those, then we do thank the Lord. And so that is a blessing from God. The closer you get to 100, the shorter your days are getting. So you got to work out your own soul salvation. I can't do it for you. They can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. I don't care who your teacher is. He or she cannot do it for you. When you get down there and you get ready to take that test, you got to do it on your own. You got to talk to the Lord. God, give me remembrance of the things that I need to know. It says, work out your own salvation. And then it says, with fear and trembling. God is the one that has the power. He is the one that holds the key to hell and to heaven. And then Jesus said that if you want to come to me, you got to go by me in order to get to heaven. So you best know who Jesus is. For the Bible declares, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So don't think you're doing God a favor. I'm able to stand this morning because God so fit to give me the divine power to stand before you on this day. And even though yesterday I pondered and I thought about this message, that did not mean that I was going to be able to get up this morning and deliver it. But somehow, in some way, God loved me enough to wake me up this morning, give me a mind to come on and do what the Lord God have allowed me to do. And it's for his will and his good pleasure. Oh, you can leave here and say, I'm can't preach a good message this morning. But that don't mean a hill of beans. All I want to hear my Savior say is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want my labor to be in vain. Now, if you don't want to get it, you don't have to get it. But I'm going to get all I can this morning. So glad to be back in this spot. I don't know what to do. After so long, it makes me have ownership. I know it don't belong to me. This is the Lord's house. This is the Lord's pulpit. It doesn't matter who preaches, the word is going to go forth and it's not going to go outdoors. Bible declares, do all things without murmuring and disputing. If you got to complain about it, you don't need to do it. How many times we find ourselves doing something for somebody and inwardly we mad about it? I'm so tired of helping you, I don't know what to do. But yet you're still digging in your pocketbook, you're still digging in your purse, doing what little you can for what you can do, and then what little you can for somebody else. But if you're going to do it just to talk about it, you may as well not do it at all. Because your blessing has already been diminished because you have complained about what you're doing. The Bible said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as light in the world. So don't let your goodwill be ill spoken of. Even in the midst of a whole lot of dark-minded folk, you ought to shine as a light. You ought to be able to walk in a room sometime, and even though the atmosphere is not quite right when you get in there, because you brought a good spirit in, things began to change. But now if you go in and you jump in with the doctor train, you ain't doing no better than nobody else. Some of us gospel folk gossip too much. We got the spelling messed up. G-O-S-P-E-L is what we supposed to spread, not G-O-S-S-I-P. We got any gospels in here? Easy to talk about what I heard, what I saw. And don't let nobody talk about somebody that you call, that you believe that they are a child of a king. Oh, I thought he was a Christian. Well, I thought you was too. Don't talk about me, pray for me. I don't need to talk about you, I need to pray for you. But how many of you know that we got some loose lips in here? How many of you know that there are times when we don't say the right thing about even our so-called friends? Then the Bible declares, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So they needed to collectively keep up the church into Christian maturity with an humble state of mind, knowing that it is God that gives us power to will and to do his good pleasure. And don't be like the Israelites that complained during the wilderness wandering, but they were blameless. And even in the dark, we ought to be able to shine as Christians, let our lights running and let our lights shining bright, for our labor will not be in vain. Now, as we work out our salvation, let us remember that as believers that have faith, that James teaches us that faith without works is dead. So despite what we believe, if there is no work, then it is dead. We must show our faith by our works. And we have too many bitch-warming Christians. That almost didn't sound right. But I said B-E-N-C-H. Oh, Lord, I don't want my labor to be in vain. I got to clarify that. The word better come out right. I guarantee you there'd be somebody that written table down there that's cussing in the church. Woo! I slid through it. I gotta get back. Ooh, that was a close one, Dick. That was a close one. Ooh, don't run me out of church yet. But we sit here and we watch others work, and then we have the audacity to complain about the work they do. That is not what God would have us to do. We got to have faith in God. We got to learn to work and not complain. We got to know that while we can, we got to do whatever God would have us to do. And we got to do it in serenity. We got to do it to the glory of God. And so when I come to you this morning with this text, it's a text of encouragement. It's a text that lets you know that you ought not want your labor to be in vain. Don't allow your good works to be spoken ill of. But you ought to be able to say, like Paul, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All he's saying is let there be less speculation, less lip service, and do more work. If you want a reward this morning, you got to learn how to do what the Lord God said do. And I just stopped by to let you know that when you do what God says do, when you apply your hand to the plow, God will give you the energy to do the work. Anybody working for the Lord this morning? I just stopped by to let you know that Jesus shared a parable with us this morning. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling. Man was going along on a far journey, called his own servant and delivered unto him his goods. See, when somebody give you that belonged to them, you ought to make good use of it. You ought to learn how to do the right thing. How many of you know that there's some folk that borrow your money to do the wrong thing? There's some folk that say they got a need and they know they're telling a lie. But if you give it out of the depth of your heart, if you give it out of the love of your heart, you got to know that God will bless you when you do the right thing. Somebody tell you that God gave this man something. And the man gave one man 5 talents. To another, he gave 2. To another, he gave 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway, he took his journey. So in other words, before the man got ready to leave, he dispersed this to one man. He dispersed that to another man. 5, 2, and 1. But then you got to understand that you got to be able to handle what somebody give you. If you can't handle 1, how are you going to handle 5? Don't be mad because somebody gave you 5 and gave somebody else 2. Where much is given, much is required. And I stop by to tell somebody, when the Lord God give you a talent, you got to learn how to use it for the good of God. I want to let you know that when you put your feet to the paddle and you begin to work for the power of a loving God, God will give you the right mindset. I'm going to take these 5 talents and I'm going to use them for the good of a mighty God. I'm going to go and see if I can get 5 more talents. For when I get the good news that God is a mighty good God and God has blessed me along the way, I want to find somebody that want to serve the Lord like I serve God. I want to go out and tell 5 more folk that the Lord will make a way somehow. I want to pull in somebody else. I want to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Do I have any help in here this morning to realize that God has given you a talent? And God didn't give you that talent to sit down on it. For the Bible declared the man that had 5 and the man that had 2. He went back to the servant and he let the man know that I've got to 5 more talents. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm so glad that you used my money right. Then he looked at the one that gave him 2. He said, I went out and got 2 more. And I'm so glad that the 2 more that I got, it makes a way out of no way. And so he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But how many of you know we always got somebody lazy? Didn't get but 1 talent in the first place. Went and buried it down in the ground. But I'm so glad that I serve a God that told me not to bury my gifts, not to put it down in the ground, but go out and try to do something right. When the man came back to the man with 1 talent, he said, you know, you did those things that are not in place. For I found out that there were times that you got that you weren't supposed to get. He said, the Lord, I know that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not straw. But I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. The Lord said unto him, thy wicked and slothful servant, you lazy rascal, I shouldn't have gave you now in the first place. If you can't use what God has given you, if you can't give God some praise while you can, I want to know if there's anybody in the house that love God enough this morning. Say, for God I live,
And for God, I'll die. I'm going to take what little bit I got. And I'm going to see if I can get a little bit more. All I got to do is be obedient to the word of God. And I'm so glad this morning that when God gives you something, you ought to be glad about it. Anybody glad you got eyesight? Anybody glad you got two arms? Anybody glad that your legs work? Anybody come to give your God some praise? I stop by to tell somebody that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world's not going to take it away. I'm so glad that I serve a mighty God. My God is a healer. My God is a keeper. My God is a deliverer. My God is a savior. And I don't want my running. I don't want my labor. I don't want my work to be in vain. I'm going to give God what I got while I got a chance. Is there anybody here that want to give your God some praise? Is there anybody here that want to shut out your yesterday? Is there anybody here that's not worried about what folks say? But I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that when I'm weak, God will make me strong. When I'm down, God will pick me back up. When I can't find my way, when a bridge get over the way, I got a God that'll take me across troubled water. And I love the Lord with all of my heart. And I don't want my running. I don't want my labor to be in vain. If it's in vain, it's good for nothing. But when God has blessed you, Bible declared, therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be ye steadfast. That means stick to it. Unmovable. Always. Not abounding in what Cade said, but in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, with all the little bit of sense I got, I know that if I work for the Lord, sincere from the heart, then my labor is not in vain. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you know God to be the healer, the deliverer, and the forgiving God that he is, then you know that salvation still belongs to you. And I want to let somebody know, I don't care how much love you get, you got to work out your own soul salvation. I wonder this morning, how many of you are working on it? You know, it's easy. Come in here. Move that pocketbook. Sit down. Look. Witness. Criticize. Oh, the choir ain't sounding like nothing today. Well, who choir you on? Usher meeting today. You need to get rid of them. Because you can't open God's door and be a good doorkeeper with a smile on your face, then your standing is in vain. Sitting over here with these young and old women, all dressed in white. Deaconesses, virtuous women, or should be. Learn how to keep your mouth shut. They're supposed to be products for the young women so that when the young woman get out of order, they can come to you. And they don't need to come to you with your jaws full of wind saying, don't nobody tell me what to do. This my dress. And I can wear it like I want to wear it. Deacons. Supposed to be full of power. Examples of what a man ought to be in the house of God. Don't let your labor be in vain. And don't think just because y'all older than I am, God still told me what to tell you. Whether you like it or not. Make me no difference. Because I'm going to do what the Lord God said do. Because I don't want my labor to be in vain. Everyone that's a member of this church, your blood is on my hands. If I don't tell you what God said, tell you. So I'm not going to lose my blessing to satisfy keeping you as a friend. What a friend I have in Jesus. All of my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry to God everything in prayer. You better pray. You better do what you can while you can. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That your labor, see, that's what kept ringing out to me yesterday. I don't want my labor to be in vain. You can do what you want to with yours. It's not for me to say. And then it is for me to say, because that is my job. I'm a servant working in this vineyard for the power of a loving God. And I hope and pray that that woe, those words of encouragement, would not only tickle your ears, but would go to the depths of your heart and make you feel like this morning, that whatever my work is to work out my soul's salvation, I don't want it to be in vain. The Bible says, and I'm finished, to all of the prophets, as I studied the word of God, he said, do not be afraid of their faces. I'm not scared to look at you and tell you the truth. And I'm not too proud to say when I'm wrong. I'm approachable because I'm just a servant of the Most High God. Repeat after me again. I don't want my labor to be in vain. Because sometimes, I don't care who it is, we can be stubborn. We can be stiff-necked. You can be disobedient if you want to. But that's between you and your God. I tried to convey it, and I put it out there. Take it if you want it. Leave it if you want it. But I do know that I've been obedient to what the Lord God has said do.